الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد، فهذه ترجمة لخطبة الجمعة في الثالث والثامن عشر من شهر جمادة الأول سنة 1429. Brothers, I have some good news. You see, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. In the last event we had some little what do we call it, like a picnic. It's not really a picnic for the Muslims. Some of you were there. You know the one we had in Istiraha? We played basketball and we had some fun and games and competition. The bottom line is, we actually invited the Sheikh, the Imam of the Masjid, which we were praying. And he joined us and he, you know, gave us a couple of reminders. And better than all that is that we established a deal with him. He emails me the khutbah that he delivers. So I actually have it here. So I don't have to give you 20% of what he says and add 80% of my own and leave you, you know, 50-50. Alhamdulillah, now I can roughly summarize the translation from the actual khutbah, the same exact words that he said. And this is very nice of him, the fact that he shares this with us for the benefit to maximize. Wa alaikum salam. Furthermore, he mentioned in his email that if there are any special topics that you like, to let him know so he can deal with them. So if there's something you want to know about in Islam, of course he will probably not be very much concerned about da'wah in terms of dealing with the Christians. But something that is, wa alaikum salam, in and within Islam, wa alaikum salam, then you can tell me and I can tell him. But, so let's begin the translation, and thank you all of you for remaining silent while I speak. Thank you. Look, be careful, this fly may attack you if you keep speaking. طيب. No, seriously, what is this man? Subhanallah. That's not, that's a bee, Sheikh. Kill it!
It's a bee.
No? It's a bee? No? It's a fly? It's gonna distract us, so Allah musta'an. The khutbah is as follows. Verily, in the book of Allah and in the way, the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is an invitation to the Islamic society or community to be upon the best of character. To be upon the best of character and moral, being upon a good moral. And the Islamic community, whenever it is established upon this foundation of good moral and good character, then the person will be living happily and in a state of comfort and tranquility in this world, in this dunya, in this world, and in the hereafter. And the true believer truly believes that this religion, this deen is complete. Islam is a complete way of life, not 50-50. And that Muhammad, peace be upon him, was sent with the truth. Wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. And that, wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Tafaddal, ahlan wa sahlan. There's a chair here. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with the truth. So the which is the Islam, which the Prophet ﷺ lived upon, and so did his righteous companions throughout these generations, until Allah Azza wa Jal, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, inherits the earth, wa alaikum salam, and whomever lives upon it. It looks like it's the floor. Tayyib. And nothing will rectify the condition of the Ummah today except that which rectified the condition of the Ummah back then. For us to be back prosperous and in the state of goodness, we must follow the same guidelines and way of life as the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, along with the Prophet ﷺ and the first generations of Muslims. Otherwise, if we're living in another way, different lifestyle, we're not as committed as they are, then we will not attain the same virtue that they have attained. طيب, where is this leading? So the Muslims, the society of the Muslims is supposed to be pure. free from any evil, such as fornication. And this is not allowed. Rather, it's supposed to be established upon the quality or the act of worship of enjoining what is good, meaning helping in what is good, and forbidding what is evil, stopping the evil. Always encouraging good and stopping the evil. Because when the evil spreads, the punishment encompasses everyone. So we must do something about it. So with that and modesty, being modest or sometimes shy, but it's not really shy, is a quality of faith, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. A Muslim male or female is supposed to be modest, particularly the woman. And this is among the characters of the believers. And Allah Azza wa Jal had forbade the woman from exposing her adornment. Exposing her adornment, meaning beautifying herself for the pleasure of men, from wearing makeup and wearing clothes that are revealing, and things that me and you understand, you know, things that will make this woman a source of attraction. And when this is the case, a lot of evil comes out due to that. It could be to the extent of rape. If she's not getting along, you know, the man just loses his mind because of what he sees. Or it could be consensual, she may accept, and when fornicate, this is another evil act, whether according to the Ten Commandments that Jesus was preaching, or in Islam, or the Old Testament, or any prophet and messenger. Fornication and adultery has always been forbidden, you know. You should not do that. Not even look at your wife's neighbor with lust. So that's one problem. Or the least, the gaining of sin. The man will gain sin because of looking at something that Allah did not allow, and his heart may become attached to this particular image, and it may disturb him for the rest of the day, the week, the month, the year. I mean, maybe the woman was so fine that she just, you know, she occupied your brain, and she will gain sin for allowing her, the men to be, for her to be a source of fitna, a trial for these people. And of course you will gain the sin for appearing in this fashion and not covering what Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded her to cover. So this is this is from me. The whole thing about this is, so I will not go into this on my own, and I just fail to do this all the time. Ma'alish. But just bear with me. So the bottom line is, let me go back to the khutbah. These are among the evils that are result from this kind of woman exposing her adornment and showing her beauty and what have you, which is very common in the non-Muslim societies, and it's starting to become common among the Muslim societies. But where it is more spread, you will see more AIDS, more children that don't know who their parents are, more rape. Like in the States, every minute and a half a woman is raped. A minute and a half. They have in the universities, every maybe 10 meters, there's a booth, a phone booth for emergency call for the police, just in case a woman was walking on campus. Someone decided to just, you know, handle his business right then and there. Then she will have to call for help. I mean, this is how the society is. You see it. Call 911. If you are in danger. So of course they walk around with the pepper spray, you know, in case someone attacks. The life of why? Because of her to begin with. Had you covered yourself, no one would care for you. No one would bother you. And this is what Allah commanded the woman in the Quran. If you cover yourself, it will be easier that the people recognize you as a good woman, pious woman. Said, no interest in that. You know, when a woman is righteous, no interest. Who are you going to have interest with? The woman who's loose and easygoing and goes into that stuff. The one who shows everything for the people. That's the one that is most likely to, you know, go into this kind of nonsense. Al-Muhim. So Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَىٰ. And do not adorn yourself in the way of the early times before Islam. In the Jahiliyyah, where a woman would put a flag outside her tent that she's available for fornication. And a number of men will come in on her, and you know, أعوذ بالله وسيك رفج عن الله, from this nonsense, they commit adultery with her. Then when she becomes pregnant and she has a child, she brings them all and she looks, okay, it looks like you're the father, here, take care of him. Really? That's how it was before Islam. That's how the tribes used to be before Islam. When Islam came, no more. No more, none of this stuff. You either married to someone or you're not. You either have a legal relationship or you're not. And you know, all these things were stopped. So Allah forbade the woman from adorning themselves in this fashion. And He forbade her from speaking in a soft voice. And this is another problem. And Allah says in the Quran, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. So do not be submissive in your voice. So the person who has a sickness with his heart, he may have, you know, it may arouse him. And you know what I'm saying? If you speak to a woman that sounds like a man, you know, go on the phone, hello? I say, okay, you don't even want to see her. And you can imagine already a big old woman, you know, who's gonna, if you come in, she's just gonna bow, stomp you or something. You say, I'm not interested. Or if a woman, you know, says, you know, I don't want to imitate her, you know how a soft woman may sound. You may just say, oh, without even seeing her, right? You may fall in love with her just because of her voice. Soft and tender, what have you. So you imagine a petite woman or something along these lines. Now this is a fact in men. Allah gave us the deen according to the way we are. This is not for animals, human beings. This is how we feel. You may like a woman through her voice without even seeing her. And that's why a lot of people fall in love on chatting. They don't even hear the voice. Typing only. You know, I'm wearing pink socks, he faints. Something along these lines. They fall in love and they go and travel from a country to a country to get married, and they find out that they're totally different than what they were looking for. So the bottom line is there's this natural attraction between a male and a female. And Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, created us in this fashion, but He legislated to us things that will prevent us from falling into sin. So the woman is not supposed to speak in this soft voice. Even if it's your wife or your daughter, and for whatever reason she had to speak to another man, you advise her. She make her voice sound thick. You know, maybe she put some napkin on her mouth. You know, it doesn't sound soft. Because this is a fitna. This is a source of attraction, naturally. And it's our responsibility to take care of our women folks. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded her to lower the... Yes, sir? Anyone? Thank you. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded her to lower the gaze. And He forbade her from revealing her adornment. Except the ones whom she's allowed to, like her father, her brother, the people who are closely related to her whom she cannot marry. There's no harm in looking okay, you know, wearing the regular clothes. But anyone who's not, whom she could marry, she is supposed to cover herself from these people. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze, and tell the believing women to also lower their gaze. What does lower the gaze mean? Whenever you see an attracting opposite gender, you do not continue to stare. That's what lowering the gaze means. Because your eyes may fall the first time. As the Prophet ﷺ told Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, do not follow the first look with another look. Because the first one is yours, but the second one is not. So you're driving down the street, and apparently something walks in front of you, right? Now, by nature, you're going to look. You're not really thinking whether it's a woman or a man. Anything moving is going to cause you to look. So you look and bow. It's a woman. So now, this is okay. No sin on you. Where does the problem begin? When you look away, or when you continue looking, and when you look back. Say, oh, let me see this again. Then after you pass in the mirror, in the rearview mirror. Then in the one on the... Hey, some people do that. And then as soon as somebody comes around, he pretends that he's okay. So they're afraid of the people, but not afraid of Allah. They make sure the people don't see them looking, but okay, it's okay if Allah sees them looking. Now you know what I'm saying. So the bottom line is, that is not permissible in Islam. Why? Because this may lead to many things. You cannot do anything about it. Either you're going to commit a major sin in order to get this woman, or you're just going to be grieving over this pretty look and this pretty sight, which you cannot do anything about. That's like going to a car dealership and looking at all these Ferraris. Wow! Now then you leave them in your Honda or in your Toyota. What benefit was it to see every day you go look at the Ferraris? If you're going to keep driving your old raggedy 1952 car, then looking at the Ferrari is not really going to get you any benefit. All you're going to do is just, oh, this Ferrari, I wish, and you won't get anything. Or you steal the car. Say, forget this, I need a Ferrari. You steal the car, you leave the place, they catch you, you go to jail, and all problems, they cut your hand off and what have you. So either way, you're going to grieve. So Allah protected us from that. Lower your gaze, ya. Don't look and it's 10 seconds, 15 seconds before she disappears and life goes on. You don't know what happened, what you missed, what she looked like. You will be busy with something else. Nowadays it's very difficult because women are all over the place. And very few of them fear Allah and cover themselves so they're not a source of fitna. And many of them make it their objective to look attractive, even with the hijab, which is very twisting. You wear a hijab, but you try to look attractive through the hijab. What's the purpose of the hijab? To cover yourself, not so you can look nicer. Anywho. So Islam forbade a man to enter upon a woman whom she doesn't have a relative of hers. And he forbade her from traveling without a man looking after her because of the danger that she may be exposed to, you know, especially a woman traveling on her own. So the brother says, my Muslim brother, the Islamic legislation came to protect the woman and preserve her from the people with the sick hearts. And he made it forbidden for her to mix with men, which is the subject of the khutbah. Because that is a big door of evil. The mixing between men and women in the various aspects of life is something that is evil, which the Islamic law has come to forbid and warn against. And it is a calamity that has fallen upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it became a large door for destroying the morals and the characters and the virtues of the Muslims. And it is very sad that the mixing has become very common among the people. So much so that the man mixes with his maid, which is forbidden in Islam. And the doctor mixes with the nurse or the patient, whether it is necessary or it is not necessary. Because times of urgency, it's urgent. But there are times that it's not urgent, but the doctor is sitting with his nurse in his office all day. Trust me, they're going to fall in love. You know what I'm saying? The shaitan is going to keep adorning this thing until something goes wrong. And this is known in the hospitals nowadays. This is something that is there. We're not just speaking about nothing. And the driver will be mixing with the woman, taking her places. Another problem. And of course the man will be mixing with his fiance before they get married. They already go in and having dinner with each other, what have you. In Islam, no such thing. You know, you have your engagement is basically to get to know each other under the observance or under the governing of the family members. You know, you may know each other, but with people being around. But to already have a relationship of a boyfriend, girlfriend, before you get married, before she's lawful for you to have a relation with her, this is not part of Islam. Why? Because you may break the engagement. So what if you go, she's supposed to be a virgin if she's never been married, because we don't have anything sex before marriage in Islam. So if you wind up becoming, you're engaged to her and you go do the whole thing, and then you decide it's not going to work out. What will happen to this poor woman who never got married to you, but you took advantage of her? Because of this possibility, Islam said no. Once you become married, she is your wife, and you are her husband, then you could do whatever you want to do, go have dinner on your own, or what have you. Bye. You've chased me over here? Yes. Bye. So basically, I'm going to summarize here because of the time. So the mixing between men and women is something that is evil, and Islam came to forbid. And it is a reason for fornication to be spread and sexually transmitted diseases and what have you. طيب, we have an evidence for that. Some evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. Some of the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Imam Ahmad fi Musnadihi wa Tirmidhi. These are some of the muhaddithin, those who narrated the hadith. That Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no man shall be in seclusion with a woman except that the devil is their third. Anytime a man is alone with a woman who is not permissible for him to be with, the shaitan, the devil is their third. Meaning he will continue to whisper to one of them or to both of them to go for it and do the thing that is not allowed in Islam. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, woe to you from entering upon women. You know, walking upon women, you know there's a room with women in there, you just open the door, salam alaikum. What salam alaikum habibi? This is a time usually where they may take off their clothes. and they're not ready for someone to walk in. So you walk in and see all these things, it's going to cause a lot of problems. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do not do that. So one of the companions said, O Messenger of Allah, what about the husband's brother? You know what I'm saying? You are married, this is your wife, you have a brother. So some people are very loose. Say, okay, it's just my brother. He's going to treat her like, you know, he knows she's my wife, so no problem there. So when a man said, oh, Messenger of Allah, what about my brother? He said, the brother, yani, is death. This is more dangerous. Why? Because there's a nature of being easygoing with each other because of their relation. And this will make it even easier to fall into sin. So even that is not allowed in Islam. We're almost there, inshallah. Fine. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, verily the best of rows, you know the row in the salah? Right now when we pray, there's the first row, second row, third row. I encourage you to be in the first row. He said, the best of rows for men are the front ones. And the worst are the last ones. So if there's, brothers, if there's a jama'ah and there are six rows, the best row for a man is in the front row. And the more you move to the back, the more evil. And the last one is the most evil. We will see why. And the best lines or rows for the women are the last ones. And the most evil ones are the front ones. Why? Because at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no second floor for the masjid. Where the woman will go from the back and be on top. The masjid encompassed both men and women. But there were etiquettes that they abided by. First, the woman will enter after the men from a special door. Second, when the Prophet ﷺ would complete the salah, he would not turn around. He would not turn around until the woman left first. So at no point there was any mixing. And you have to remember, these were the most pious people among the Muslims. Yet even in the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ said, the worst line for the woman is the front. And the worst line for the man is the last. Why? Because they're so near. Because they're so near. The front row of the woman will be near to the last row of men. He said, these are the most evil. And the best ones are the opposite. The farther you are from each other, the best. Now, if this is in the masjid, at the time of prayer, which is the farthest one of us will be away from this kind of emotion, you know? If this is the case in the masjid with the best of people, then what about outside the masjid? What do you think about the mixing? This hadith is a clear evidence about the prohibition of mixing between men and women. Because they must avoid each other as the companions did at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib. Hey. Okay, so basically, some of the people, he was... نعم أهلين وسهلين لا والله لسه he was criticizing the people who are trying to encourage this mixing. There are many among the Muslims, or what they call as the modern Muslims, those who think that Islam should also upgrade with the societies and the people so it could go along with the flow. Of course this is nonsense, but some of these modern Muslims say it's okay, you should mix, no problem with mixing, this is back in the day, now things have changed, the world is different, the people are different, blah 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 blah. So the Shaykh was warning us from listening to these people who are really not giving us any advice, rather it's an indication that they do not understand the religion of Allah properly and the importance of protecting the woman and the man, so the society will be sound, everybody will be married. Assalamu alaikum, coach. Everybody will be married, everybody will be having relationships lawfully, you know, and a man can have more than one wife if necessary. Fine. So the Shaykh finally said, he has four things he wants to discuss with you pertaining to this idea of mixing. First, that verily all honor is in following the commandments of Allah. And all humility is in disobeying Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu said, we were a group of people whom Allah gave us honor through Islam. If we seek honor outside of Islam, Allah will humiliate us. We will never be humiliated, we will never be honored except with Islam. Secondly, that whatever has happened to the Muslim Ummah in this day is because of allowing the mixing between men and women, which is a great calamity that has befallen upon the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said, I did not leave behind me. Now this is very important, this is a fact. The Messenger ﷺ said, I did not leave behind me a trial, a test more damaging and more severe upon men than women. Nothing is more dangerous and severe upon men than women. You may be a person who is religiously committed, doing your salah, doing your siyam, fearing Allah, enjoying the good, forbidding the evil, living a happy life, until one woman comes into your life and you are ma'a salama. You may leave the salah, you may leave fasting, you may leave the whole dunya because of a woman who got you, won over. You are fell in love with her and you're done. You're a dead man walking. So the Prophet ﷺ said this, there's no bigger, more dangerous fitna after me than women upon men. He said another hadith, so be careful of the dunya and be careful of women. Because the first tribe of the children of Israel, the Jews, was through women. This is how they deviated from the path. Thirdly, he says, I remind myself in you, for those who are, have been given the responsibility of those who are under them. So each one of you, ikhwan, who has a daughter, each one of you has a mother, each one of you has a wife, each one of you has a sister. It's our responsibility that we protect them from falling into these violations. It's our obligation to prevent them from adorning themselves, because no man who is sound in his mind will allow his woman to be a source of attraction for another man. Unless you have zero jealousy. And if you have zero jealousy, you're not really a man. You're more like gay. Because the gay people don't have any jealousy. Everything goes. But a real man doesn't allow anyone to look at his wife. You know, walking as you see, you know, as it happens in other countries, they may whistle at her or do something like that, and the man just walking like he's eating a lollipop or some ice cream. So if you're really a man, you will not allow this to happen. You know, your jealousy will overtake you. Say, hey, man, mind your business. But instead of doing that, tell her, cover yourself. Save us the trouble of me fighting with boxing every day in the street with people. Hey, why are you looking at my wife? Bah, me. You're going to wind up in jail one day. Let your woman cover herself, problem solved. No one will look at her. Or your daughter or anyone else. Now, and finally, Barakallahu feekum, you're almost done. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not be like a plate or something, like an imitator. If the people are good, so you do good. If the people are bad, so you do bad. Rather, teach yourself to do good if the people do good, and to stay away from bad if the people do bad. And this is the conclusion of the khutbah, which is in summary, warning us from the dangers of mixing between men and women, which has been spread now in the hospitals, in the houses, in the mall, everywhere you go, men and women all the time, and everybody is just, being exposed to this major fitna. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to prevent us from this fitna and make us among those who keep our family members safe and sound until we meet Allah Azza wa Jalla in paradise. Free from all these things that may lead us to the hellfire. Now.
Because when we go to our Umrah,
They
mix women.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. As for the Umrah,
it's not the
Umrah. Yes, it is. Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the men will do Umrah, will do tawaf on their own, and the women will do tawaf on their own. They were not mixing with each other as it is done today. So basically, whenever the situation is as such, you are only held accountable for what you have the ability to do. It's beyond your ability. What are you going to do? Stand on the top of the Kaaba and tell the people to stop? No one will listen to you. You know what I mean? So you fear Allah as much as you can. You, when you do an Umrah or Hajj, you run away from women. You remember who was with us? We were running away from women. Whenever you see a group of them, because you don't want to, you know what I'm saying, have your elbow land in something too soft. And wind up walking with each other for a few feet. Yeah, and a big danger.
But if you don't do it deliberately,
if it happens, Allah will only hold you accountable for intention.
If so, there are people really like that.
Yeah, I know. You're only held accountable for what you do willingly. But for the things that happen outside your control, Allah is merciful.
The biggest experience when we go
tawaf,
some women, they don't care.
touching in their body is not terrible.
Hey, that's a problem. So that's why avoid them, akhi. Always be with men. Continue to maneuver. Continue to walk around until you are always around men. Do not be near women. Because the last thing you want is while you're doing tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this virtuous act of worship for your mind to be stuck on some woman. That's the last thing that you need. It's going to destroy your whole act of worship. So you, the principle in Islam, whatever leads to haram, is haram. Whatever may lead you to something forbidden, you have to stay away from it from the beginning. You don't approach it and say, oh well, what can I do? Everybody does this in Umrah, that's none of your business. Your job is to remain as far away from women as possible. If Allah decrees otherwise, then inshallah Allah will protect you from any consequences of such yani mixing. Nah. But it is not okay what they're doing today. A woman praying in front of a man, you come do ruku' in front of a woman, do ruku' in front of you, a'udhu billah. This is a big problem. Some scholars say your salah is void. Your salah is invalid if you pray behind a woman. Because come on now. That's just, way out. Now, I don't wanna, where is Al-Hassan, Sheikh Abu Hassan? Whether it's your, what is not allowed?
Supposing you are with a woman, she's not
your maharam. You cannot be with her, period. Unless you have other people, like what's the nature of being with each other?
About a group of men and women, and the men protecting the woman for reading tawaf.
No, why? Because let's consider this. There's four sisters and their husbands. طيب? And so the husbands somehow make a little block. But they're going to be in contact with the woman. So you may get in contact with not your wife, with the other brother's wife. They may be, because they're trying to protect them from the people, so somebody may squeeze them. So when they squeeze them, of course you're going to try to protect them, but every man protects his wife. You may put her in front of you and put your arms around her, like that. So anyone who comes from the side, no one comes from the front, you hold her back, some are from the back, they will hit you.
Bottom line is intention.
Inevitably, but you have to also use the reasons, utilize the reasons to avoid fitna. But the bottom line is intention, without a doubt.
Even if you have intention, there is evil destructing you.
Hey,
you come,
Well, yeah, but then you pay for the consequences of the sin. But then here we have Allah Azza wa Jal being merciful and forgiving, and Allah accepts the repentance. We will all fall into sin, whether during Umrah or outside Umrah or right now or 2 minutes ago after we leave this place. Every one of us will have his own portion or his own share of sins. No one is free from that. No son of Adam is perfect. So we will all have that. But the virtue or the benefit is to seek forgiveness from Allah. Repent to Allah. Don't continue to do that. Because we will be sinners by default. We were born with the ability to sin. Not born with sin, as the Christians say, the original sin. You cannot inherit sin from your grandfather. You don't inherit sin because you're innocent. You're born innocent, but as human beings we are weak, so we have the tendency to sin. But we have the tendency to seek forgiveness. And we have a forgiving God who promised that if you ask forgiveness, He will forgive you. If you repent to Him, He will accept your repentance. Tawakkal. I'm done. Inshallah. Maybe not. That's it. Khalas? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.